my own health fell apart during medical school from stress and other things. And I left the medical residency. And early on, very early on, I bumped into Dr. Paul Eck. I tried many programs to get myself well. I had adrenal exhaustion. I had brain fog. I was told I had cancer. And I didn't want the conventional therapy. And Dr. Paul Eck was the founder of Nutritional Balancing Science. And when I went on his program, which was still being developed, very much in development around 1980, I noticed that I felt better, and I had a practice, and I tried different programs on people in my practice, and this one did the best with people. The results were consistent. It uses hair mineral analysis, but interpreted a special way, and you have to use a laboratory that doesn't wash the hair, which is there's only two of them in the world that I know of. And so I learned his science. I went on the Kelly Metabolic Cancer Therapy, which was somewhat based on the same science. And then I went on the Nutritional Balancing Program with Dr. Paul Eck. And so I have been doing this now for 33 years. And Dr. Eck died about 17 years ago. I worked for him for 14 years. I was his right-hand man. I did his writing for him. He was what I call a stream of consciousness, absolute genius type of person, meaning he was sort of up in the ethers, if you know what I mean. And so I did writing over there at his laboratory and helped with everything. And then he passed on, and I have continued his research. Now, the laboratory has not always agreed to what I've suggested, but we've continued his research. I've added coffee enemas, sauna therapy, a particular meditation exercise, the Roy Masters meditation, and a few other things, and made some changes in the supplements and the diet. Dr. Eck did not pay too much attention to the diet. He did endorse diet, but the diets were much simpler when he was doing it, and they didn't work as well. And so the programs today are actually a lot better, much, much better. And it wouldn't take anyone else as much time as it's taken me to heal because I started out doing a lot of things wrong. For example, I was drinking reverse osmosis water. That's not a good idea. I did that for years. But I found out later it doesn't hydrate the body very well, and we prefer spring water. But that's basically how I got started with nutritional balancing, was for my own health, and then because I had a nutrition practice, I had a very large nutrition practice in Phoenix for about 15 years, I got to test out Dr. X's ideas and other people's ideas. I tested many, many systems, vegetarian systems, blood type systems, all kinds of systems, macrobiotics, and I incorporated the best of those systems in what is now nutritional balancing science.
Yeah, I'm training in this protocol right now. I'm about halfway through your text. And, you know, I've been studying nutrition for a number of years, and everything in the text makes so much sense. I mean, it's just completely mind-blowing how...
Yeah, now it doesn't make sense to everybody, just so you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but it just really is so comprehensive in how you have
very
to...
Very comprehensive, yeah.
Yeah, you have to balance your mineral levels for your body to be healthy.
Well, what you have to do, you know, you asked the question earlier, why are people tired and why do they have brain fog? What we find is everybody is toxic today and everybody is depleted of nutrients today. And most people, their body is out of tune, which is like an engine out of tune. And that's that the oxidation rate or metabolic rate is either too fast or too slow. And that's, you know, that's a summary of what's going on in the world today. The world has never been more toxic with toxic metals ever in history. Levels are 1,000 times higher than ever before, thanks to industrialization, burning coal without putting scrubbers on the plants, all kinds of things like that. Radiation poisoning is rampant, and there's thousands of toxic chemicals all over the environment. America is actually one of the cleanest places. You know, we make it sound like America's so bad. No, America is one of the cleanest places to live.
I know, it's sad how these industries in China, they don't put the scrubbers on the...
Oh, it's horrible.
And so that toxicity floats over here.
Right. I lived in Mexico City. I went to medical school in Mexico, and my eyes burned as soon as I went into Mexico City. They say it's 10 times worse than Los Angeles.
Wow.
And there were 3 million Volkswagens, at least, with no pollution devices on the cars at all. And that's just, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg with all the different industries and different things going on. And so everybody's toxic. They're born toxic. We do hair tests on 3-month-old babies, and they're full of toxic metals from their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff is passed on right from the through the placenta, from the mother to the child.
I know. I sadly just had a hair mineral test for my daughter, and lo and behold, she has all of my toxicity and my copper toxicity and aluminum toxicity and
deficiency,
yes, nutrient deficiencies that I had. Is, you know, quite similar.
That's right. That's one of the most important things that we're trying to do is produce healthy babies, because they're all sick today. They're all sick. What we find, for example, is any child who's been on this program for, say, 4 or 5 years, they're usually several grade levels ahead of their peers, because the whole school system, everything has been adjusted down, has been dumbed down, basically, to accommodate today's children. That's how ill all the children are, and I'm not even talking about the ADD children, you know, and the autistic children and all the horrors that are going on out there with the children. But that's because they're getting all the toxic metals from their parents, mother primarily, and the food today is not very good, even the highest quality organic food. And this is very easy to prove. There's a book out there that compares the United States Department of Agriculture statistics on the food content, the mineral content, vitamin content of food 100 years ago and the food content today. The food today is all hybridized. Everything is hybrids, and that's not even the genetically modified stuff. But they're all hybrids. We grow 10 times as much food on the same plot of land, and we're not putting the minerals back on the food, and so the food is much less nutritious today.
Yeah, there's no financial benefit for a farmer to do that. There's no financial benefit.
That's right. The hybrids are not set up for nutrition. The food may look good, but it's more starchy, it's lower in protein usually, and it's much lower in minerals. And so you're right. One of the big parts of a nutritional balancing program is to remineralize the body. That's a key component. We do it using sea salt. Even though sea salt has a few toxic metals, it's still worth it. We use kelp. We use something called endoveggie, which is a vegetable capsule. It's sort of like those green powders, but we like it better because the green powders go bad. You know what I mean? They oxidize, whereas in the capsule, it doesn't do that.
Yeah, I've had these green powders put in my smoothies. I always wondered why it smelled so bad.
And we use tons of cooked vegetables, because cooked vegetables are the main source of minerals. Raw food, you will not get the minerals out of it. Juices, yes, but they're too yin in Chinese medicine to be doing a lot of juices.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually is the basis of the diet. Is the cooked vegetables, 70-80% of the diet. And that is the basic cause today why most people are tired and brain fog is rampant. It is just rampant. It's very interesting because there's very little information on the internet about brain fog. When people type brain fog, my article usually comes up in the first page of Google. And Wikipedia, I think, just added a little section on brain fog. But it's not diagnosed by doctors. It's not a disease in the sense of, you know, it's not caused by a bacteria or something. But it is extremely common, extremely common.
Yeah, after I had my child, you know, I just assumed I had mommy brain. And, you know, I've definitely been suffering from brain fog for a number of years. My memory is nothing what it used to be. And it's just so frustrating living with that. You just feel so dumb. And,
yes.
But it's just these toxic heavy metals are affecting your brain.
Yes, and malnutrition and toxic chemicals and being out of balance, which is a concept we endorse heavily. You have to have a hair mineral test, and you have to know how to interpret it to even assess the balance, but the balance of the electrolytes particularly is very important. It is like pedaling a bicycle in the right gear. If you know how that, if you pedal your bike too fast or if you pedal too slowly, you get tired. I don't know if you have familiar with bicycles. Cars, the same thing. Run the engine too fast or run the engine too slowly, and the car loses power. They call that the torque curve of an engine. And that's how your body works. Same thing. When the metabolic rate or oxidation rate is perfect, your energy comes up dramatically. And that allows your body to remove toxic metals deeply. We don't like chelation. It's not powerful enough, and it has some toxic side effects. We don't need it. We use other methods, but the main one is balancing the oxidation rate, or that's one of about 14 methods. And that's a very important concept. But you know what? Your memory, Wendy, is going to improve. Mine has improved. It amazes me, the things I can remember.
I'm really looking forward to that because I first started the program, you know, I take a lot of notes, I do a lot of reading, I write for my blog, and so I would look at a page and, you know, copy down a note, and I couldn't remember the page number. I tried it 100 times, and not once out of that 100 times could I remember the page number when I was going to notate it in my notebook.
Yes.
But since I've been on the program, I remember, I've been in the program for a year, and now I remember about, you know, 75% of the time.
Well, so that's a good start.
Yeah, I'm using that as kind of a gauge to my memory and my brain fog.
Yeah. Well, it's very important, of course. I first noticed this years and years ago. I remember I have a vivid memory of a mother and her little girl. The girl was about 5 or 6, or no, maybe 7. And the mother brought the girl in for infections, you know, colds and flus and all that. And they came back after about 4 months on the program, and they said, yeah, we're much better. We haven't had to go to the doctor for infections. And then the mother just said, as an aside, she says, and by the way, my daughter's grades went from D to A. And I said, what? And she said, yeah. And that was my first tip-off that this program, you see, it's one of the nice things about healing the entire body. I had no clue that this little girl even had any trouble in school. But here, without addressing her brain, because I didn't, that was not the reason they came in, her grades, you know, were completely different. And we hear that over and over again. Someone who helps clean the house just put her daughter on the program, a 14-year-old. And she didn't even mention problems in school. I asked her what was wrong with her, and it was the usual stuff. She was tired and depressed, you know, typical symptoms today. Those are among the big ones, along with constipation. And but you know what? When I asked her how she was doing after a number of months, the mother said, oh, and you know what? She's not having trouble in school anymore. She was dropping out of school. She actually was held back a grade. Mm-hmm. That's how common this brain fog is and how accepted it is. And it's very sad because it's affecting all the young people.
That's what I'm hoping for my daughter, because she has about a year speech delay. She's 3 years old. And that's why I had to do something. We got her in a special ed preschool, and I had to get her on the nutritional balancing program. And she is deficient in zinc, and you need zinc to activate the higher thinking areas of your brain, the neocortex areas of your brain, so that your brain can function.
Yes. And the brain needs many, many, many nutrients, and it needs to be in balance, and you have to clean it out of all the toxins which are there. A lot of people have brain parasites, too. Anybody who eats pig products, you often will have parasites, trichina cysts, and possibly even worms. And some people have Lyme disease. Lyme disease is extremely widespread and causes weird, you know, strange symptoms, and it's not that easy to find. So all that can contribute to brain fog. There's not a single cause for brain fog, which is a mild form of dementia, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in medical terms, they'd call it a mild form of dementia. And it hits young people. It's not like Alzheimer's disease. But those are some of the causes of brain fog, and it is epidemic. It is everywhere. And one another thing that makes it much worse is vegetarian diets.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because I know when I was vegetarian for about 18 months, then I went vegan for 6 months, and there were times when I could barely think. I couldn't remember anything. My mental functioning, it was so severely impaired. And
yeah.
I remember being at the doctor trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I just didn't feel right. I was tired, and I couldn't even remember all the recommendations she gave me. Like, she had to come back in and repeat everything that she had just told me. And fortunately, I was reading Gut and Psychology Syndrome shortly thereafter, and I read all my symptoms and vitamin deficiencies in that book. So I realized that the vegan diet was at the root of all my health problems. But
it's very sad because there are people pushing those diets, vegetarian and vegan, even worse. Vegan diet's a killer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you feel great on it. Because you know what? You may feel good on it in some ways, but it is not a good diet. It is not a healthy diet at all. It's missing nutrients, and, it's pernicious. It's pernicious, these books that talk about how wonderful it is. I fell for it myself. I became vegan for 3.5 years, and it wrecked my health. And
I can only tell
people, be careful.
I'm lucky I only lasted 6 months, and I felt off, and I was like, I got to figure out what is wrong and get to the bottom of it. So thankfully, because I have friends that have osteoporosis, and they're breaking bones, and they're just...
That's another problem with it.
They're mess.
You definitely get weak bones, you shorten your life, the brain doesn't work right, and it's very romantic. You know, we don't want to kill animals, we don't want to hurt animals, we don't want all that grease in our kitchen. On and on, I fell for the whole thing, so I do understand.
It sounds wonderful, but the fact of the matter is there's never been a vegan culture in the history of the Earth, and that's because humans intuitively know what they need nutritionally, and that's why the majority of the world eats meat.
Yeah, that was Weston Price's work. He looked for vegetarian tribes, and he didn't find any that were healthy. There were more or less vegetarian people, but not really. Most of them, they'd even stop their wars during the fishing season or the hunting season so that they could, eat some meat and replenish themselves. A lot of them had reproductive problems, too.
You know, I read that vegetarian diets can cause people to accumulate copper. And while we do need copper, like, how exactly does copper toxicity that many vegetarians have cause brain fog?
Well, we call copper the emotional mineral, and copper activates what are called the biogenic amines in your brain, which is epinephrine, norepinephrine, and dopamine, and those have to do with emotions and making you more emotional. Copper also causes slight detachment from reality. If you have enough copper, you get complete detachment from reality, which is schizophrenia, but if you have a mild case of copper poisoning, you get mild detachment, which is, we use the word spacey, or schizoid, or brain fogged. In other words, you detach from reality and you can't think straight. You cannot think straight. And so that's just one mechanism of how copper causes brain fog, is that it causes detachment from reality, and it also makes you more emotional, so it's harder to keep a calm, even temperament, and it's hard to learn anything in that situation. So it's true. And when you're a vegetarian or when your adrenal glands are weak, you tend to accumulate copper. Vegetarian proteins are high in copper. Meat is high in zinc, which opposes copper. And women have more of a problem with this because women are more copper dominant than men to begin with. Copper is a feminine mineral. That means it is necessary to... for female fertility. It's associated with estrogen levels, actually. But when you get too much copper, you're on the way to brain fog.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem with the vegetarian diet is your proteins are beans and nuts, and then
those are high copper.
Those are very high copper, and then I had tons of sugar cravings, so I ate chocolate all day long as well.
That's another copper. And you're not eating meat, which has the zinc in it.
Yeah.
And taking zinc supplements is better than nothing, but it's not quite the same because there are a lot of different compounds of zinc, and just taking the supplement isn't enough. We find it isn't enough.
What other toxic metals can contribute to brain fog?
Many of them. It's very interesting. We have names for the different toxic metals because of their effects. So, for example, aluminum we call soft in the head mineral. And aluminum, you know, is a very soft metal. And aluminum is associated, doctors know that it's associated with dementia. When you get aluminum in your brain, it is associated with dementia. I've seen that in teenagers, you know, as early as teenage years. I'll never forget a young man came to me once who was going to a reform school in Phoenix. He had been kicked out of, I think, 5 high schools for bad behavior. And so he ended up in this reform school. And his driver dropped him off. He was, you know, institutionalized, basically. And his driver whispered to me, "The boy has a bad attitude." Well, as soon as the boy got in my office, he was about 13, he said to me, "Doc, my brain doesn't work." That's how he said it. And he was kind of pudgy looking and a little overweight. Well, I put him on a program. I knew we couldn't control the diet very well at the reform school, but we did our best and gave him some supplements. He came back 6 months later. His driver dropped him off. He said, "The kid's attitude has turned around."
Wow.
And the boy walked in my office, sat down, and said, "You know what, Doc? My brain works." Mm. Now, he had aluminum poisoning, big time, big time. It's found in cans, cookware, antiperspirants, antacids, and he was probably born with it from his mom.
Yeah.
Peppermint teas, all the mint teas are also naturally high in aluminum. But you got to watch those antiperspirants. Don't use them. And don't use the deodorant stone or the deodorant crystal. It's full of aluminum. I don't care if it's natural. He also has cadmium poisoning. And cadmium we call the pseudo-masculine mineral because it gives you strength. Police and military, they're all high cadmium. Women who are in the workplace, in the man's world, you know, the corporate world, they're all high cadmium. Cadmium makes you tough. Cadmium toughens your body. Cigarettes are loaded with cadmium, and, you know, if you think of the Marlboro Man and Joe Camel, the old cigarette ads, they were real tough guys. They're cowboy types, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's marijuana, what the cadmium does.
Marijuana has cadmium, too.
Marijuana is loaded with cadmium.
Okay.
And the paper, marijuana, the cigarette paper is high in cadmium.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is actually associated with violence, but it also affects the mind. And it makes you take chances you shouldn't take, and it makes you think you're real tough when you're not. And so that's another factor. This boy had copper, and copper, we said, is the emotional mineral. Another one is manganese, and manganese is associated with a form of schizophrenia. And there's something in the medical books called manganese madness, and people just act strange. Another very common one is mercury poisoning. And mercury we call the Mad Hatter mineral because it was true that they made hats in the Midwest of the United States in the 1850s or so, and they rubbed mercury on the felt and the coon skins, the skins, to make hats. And these people lasted maybe 5 to 10 years on the job at the most. And then they went a little kooky, a little wacky. And that is shown in the book Alice in Wonderland, which has the Mad Hatters in it.
Yeah.
And they run around, and they're kind of kooky. And the brain fog people, some of them have that. In other words, all brain fog is not the same. Some people can't concentrate. Some people, their mind is racing. That's a copper symptom. Some people, they just can't remember things. That's more of aluminum and some of the other metals. And so mercury is another one. And there can be other toxic metals that can affect the brain as well. But I would say those are a few of them. For example, nickel. Nickel is associated with suicidal thoughts and depression. And sometimes the reason people have brain fog is they're so depressed. I once worked with a lady who worked in the jet engine factory in Phoenix. And she ground down the bearings on the engines. And they were made out of chrome nickel steel, and lots of chromium and nickel. And I said to her, "Did you wear your mask?" She says, "Well, I don't like to wear my mask. It's too hot."
Oh,
well,
no.
She was breathing in all this stuff every day. By the way, the serial killers, they all have manganese. They've done hair tests on many of those guys who shoot up the schoolyards. And manganese can turn people into a killer. That's a type of brain fog, but it's really a psychosis. You know, it's a psychopath. But the nickel, this lady was suicidally depressed. She was just ready to take her life. And when she got the nickel out, the whole thing went away. It was amazing to me, you know, how a mineral could do this.
Yeah, that's what I love, because I have studied psychology for years. Since I was 15, I couldn't get enough psychology books. And, I've had lots of therapy, talk therapy and whatnot, tried antidepressants. And it amazes me in training for the nutritional balancing certificate how profoundly these metals affect your behavior. And it's just as simple as removing these metals to improve your frame of mind and your thinking, your mood.
Yes, your attitude. Yes, when Dr. Eck taught me that, I thought he was crazy. I really, I loved the man. He was a brilliant guy. But when he said things like, iron will make you angry, I thought, come on, that's crazy. And he knew that it settled in a part of the brain called the amygdala, which is associated with anger and rage. And so what I did in my practice was I started asking people, whenever I saw high iron on a hair test, which isn't that common, actually it's quite common these days, but in 1980s it seemed like it was less common. I would say to people, by the way, are you angry? And, they would say to me, yes, how did you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after I heard that three or four times, I realized, well, maybe Dr. Eck isn't crazy. That the minerals play a role. And there's often an anthropomorphic concept of the minerals. And what that means, that big word means, is that the mineral itself has certain properties. For example, iron is brittle and hard, right? Copper is rather soft. You can bend it. A copper bracelet, you can bend it. So iron makes you hard and brittle. Copper is a feminine mineral, and you have too much of it, you get too soft, and you bend too easily. I know it sounds weird, but it's true. Calcium will give you strength, and calcium, if you want to know what's full of calcium, think of concrete, compressive strength.
Mm.
Phosphorus, we find on the hair chart, is associated with a quality of fiery quality. And many people remember in high school science class that they might have demonstrated phosphorus. They kept it, you have to store it underwater. And the teacher would take a pair of tweezers and he would lift a piece of phosphorus out of the water and it burst into flame spontaneously. It's that fiery. And then in order to get it to go out of the fire to go out, you have to put it back in the water. But when people don't have phosphorus enough, they're not fiery enough. And that's another cause of brain fog. People are so tired today.
Mm-hmm.
So tired.
A lot of people are constipated, too.
That's another problem. Slow metabolism, too. And not enough water, or the water's not hydrating them, or they're not doing the diet right. They're doing fruit and other things that mess up the intestine. When they get on a diet of mostly cooked vegetables, a little animal protein every day, no exceptions, and a little bit of whole grain, and maybe a little bit of raw dairy, and the correct kind of water, usually spring water works, or second best is carbon-filtered tap water, then we find that the constipation generally goes away.
It's really worrisome because, these toxins in the bowels can reabsorb back into the body when the pathogenic bacteria are allowed more time to feed on the contents of the feces and proliferate. And
yeah, they definitely do.
How does this contribute to brain fog?
Well, the way constipation works is that anything that sits in your intestine too long, it starts to ferment or rot, and it produces toxic chemicals, and those chemicals are reabsorbed. Doctors know about all this. They're the names of the chemicals. Like the rotting chemicals are indoles, skatol, cadaverine. There's all these things like that. They smell very bad, which is why some people's bowel movements smell bad. When it ferments, you end up with methane gas and things like that, And that does not smell as bad. So when there's a lot of candida and a lot of fermenting in your intestines, you will get a gas, but it's not as bad smelling usually. And candida and other yeasts in the intestine produce acetaldehyde, and they also produce alcohol. And so a big cause of brain fog today is that people are producing alcohol either in their intestines or even in their brain. They have literally fermentation going on in the brain, producing a little bit of alcohol, and so they're literally partially drunk.
Hmm.
And they're walking around that way all the time. All the time.
Good or bad thing?
Yeah, well, it's not a good thing because they can't think straight.
Yeah.
They can't think straight, and most people don't like it. Now, there are people who do like it, and that's why when they try to stop eating sugar, they get a crisis, and they don't like it, and they're anxious, and they start shaking all over because they're into alcohol withdrawal.
Mm.
They're actually withdrawing from alcohol, and there's a disease name for that. It's called delirium tremens, and, you know, counselors know all about this because if you have an alcoholic, you have to dry them out, and they lock them up in a jail cell usually or someplace. And for a couple days, these people are anxious and shaky. And then it all goes away.
Is it possible that someone who's constipated that's producing these alcohols might be more drawn to alcohol?
Yes.
To using alcohol?
Yes, you can. There's some kind of phenomena where if that becomes your drug of choice. And, you know, we should think of sugar. I think we should think of sugar as a gateway drug. I mean, marijuana, it's definitely a gateway drug, but so is sugar because it upsets your blood sugar, it weakens you, so it's the definition of an addictive drug. And of course, sugar is easy to get hold of. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Actually, it's hard to avoid it, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's like the number one health issue that people are dealing with, as far as the diet's concerned.
Yeah. Sugar and carbohydrates, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bread. We don't like wheat. We find that wheat is so hybridized today that it's just not a good food anymore. It's just not
a
good food.
Yeah, I've definitely cut out gluten and for my daughter as well.
Yes. Now, some people can handle gluten, you know, oats and rye and barley, but wheat is definitely very irritating. What will happen with the gluten, I think you'll find, Wendy, is that as your intestine heals, which may take a couple of years, you'll be able to eat the gluten. You know, that won't bother you as much.
Hmm.
But the wheat is irritating, and it is very high in glutamine, an amino acid today, and glutamine is a very irritating, kind of stimulating amino acid.
So
some
you
people
think wheat,
like it.
You think wheat's out forever for everyone?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. I think people are bringing back some of the heirloom wheat. In other words, they're trying to bring back the old grains, the old meat. They're getting heirloom cows from France. They're bringing back some of the old, you know, stuff before all the hybrids came along. And so there's hope. There's hope. But for now, wheat and spelt, best thing is to avoid them. There are substitutes. You can get pasta made out of rice and quinoa and corn and so forth.
So, you know, I've had a lot of problems with my thyroid, and I'm very interested in what role the thyroid and the adrenals, you know, they work in concert together. What role do they play in brain fog?
Huge, because the adrenals and the thyroid, in many cases, determine your metabolic rate, your oxidation rate. You have a fast thyroid, you're going to have a fast oxidation rate. Slow thyroid, sluggish oxidation rate, along with the adrenals. Those, the thyroid and the adrenals, are the two main energy-producing glands in the body. And the way Dr. Eck explained it is, the thyroid is like the spark plug, provides the spark, and the adrenals provide the fuel, if you want to use an analogy to a car engine. And if you ever talk to a mechanic, he tells you that in order for your engine to run, you got to have both. You got to have the fuel, and you got to have a spark. And your body is somewhat the same way. And today, the environment is loaded with thyroid antagonists. Really, they're iodine antagonists. And those are fluorine, chlorine, and bromine. And they oppose iodine, and they're everywhere. They're in all the food. They're in the water. They're in the air. And bromine is used in commercial bread. Fluorides are in the added to the water, and even if you don't drink tap water, it's found its way into our food supply. And chlorine is added to all the water, which has also found its way into the food supply. And those things trip up your thyroid. Everybody's thyroid. Most everybody.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons America is so overweight.
Yes, overweight, tired, depressed, you know, and sick. You know, generally lots of diseases associated with thyroid problems. And the other thing that gets into your thyroid is copper and mercury, poisons of thyroid. And so we have to remove all that, put back the good nutrients in the thyroid. The thyroid needs manganese and some zinc and selenium and other minerals. And the thyroid starts working fine. We find that thyroid medicine is never necessary. That's thyroid hormones. And you know how popular that is? I don't know how many people are on that. Probably 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5. I don't know. We find we have to take people off that or your thyroid will not heal properly.
Mm.
It's a crutch. Hormones should be produced within the body. They're not designed. I don't care if they're natural hormones. They're not designed to be taken in a pill or a patch or a shot or something.
Yeah, I read that if you take thyroid hormones or you take adrenal hormones like estrogen or progesterone or testosterone, that it upsets that delicate feedback loop in your body where your body will stop producing it because it doesn't need it. You're already getting an influx of it.
That's right. It also sort of locks the body in. In other words, your hormones really change every minute of the day. You know, you get up and take a walk, you'll need a certain type of hormone, a certain amount. Then you lie down for a nap and your hormone needs will change. Then something happens and you get all excited. Hormones need change again. And so that's how your hormones are regulated in your body. When you take a pill once a day, you lock the system in. It can't change or not as much. And it doesn't work very well. And it really slows everything down. It also slows down something we call development, because nutritional balancing is not just about getting rid of symptoms. That's easy, really. That's the first part. But there's something else that human beings are capable of, and that's we call that development. Mental development, spiritual development, if you want. And nutritional balancing will do that. That means it will expand your brain capacity. It will expand your immune response more than otherwise you'd be able to do, even if you were healthy. You actually get more neurons in your brain. The Peyer's patches will restore themselves. The thymus will restore itself. This is more esoteric, but it's very important. It's fun. It's nice that nutritional balancing will actually develop a person mentally, meaning help them achieve their total potential.
That's absolutely what I've experienced. And when I was first reading about it, I was like, whatever. I'm just here for my physical symptoms to be relieved. But it's absolutely true. I've absolutely noticed myself developing spiritually and developing mentally, just clear thinking and just wanting to help people.
Yes, you get smarter.
It's just amazing. It's hard to explain.
Talents and abilities show up and develop. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's an important part of nutritional balancing science. And if you take a lot of the drugs, medical drugs or holistic stuff, the herb, chelation, hormones, those two are the worst, chelation and hormones, it doesn't happen. You may feel okay. You may feel better. The hormones may, even you out for a while. But you don't develop. Because that requires a more delicate program and balancing the body and not taking hormones.
Yeah.
And so we find that to be a constant when we work with people.
Brain fog, it's certainly not a medical diagnosis or something that's even considered or treated in allopathic Western medicine. So how does one go about identifying brain fog?
It's difficult. I suppose there might be psychological tests, but I think most people know when they're not functioning well. You know, their friends tell them, you know, you're not remembering things, or they have trouble balancing a checkbook even, which is very simple, or, you know, they have trouble with tasks. I don't recommend that you go for things like an EEG, which is an electroencephalogram, which is a brain scan, not with X-rays, but with probes, you know, little electrical things on your head. It's an expensive procedure, and they can map the brain activity. I don't have a good way to, so to speak, diagnose. We don't diagnose things. We don't feel we need that, the diagnosis. Nutritional balancing is based on a different concept. We don't diagnose things and then treat things. What we do is we assess the whole system, and we identify imbalances. We don't identify diseases. For example, we might identify that the oxidation rate is too slow, or that the sodium-potassium ratio is too low, or that a mineral level is high. That's about the extent of what we would call diagnosis, and it's not really of disease. It's assessing the chemistry. And then we just balance what we see. When one layer is balanced, the body goes on to the next. You can go deeper. Red lights, more red lights.
Well, let's talk a little bit about fatigue, because fatigue is a huge, huge problem in fast-paced America. And I'm just curious, what is causing this rampant plague of fatigue in our society, which has us totally addicted to stimulants like caffeine and sugar?
The same things that is causing brain fog. Mineral-deficient food, you know, nutrient-deficient food, because it's not just minerals, but that's probably the most important. A world full of toxins that get inside of you. Toxic metals, toxic chemicals, infections, which are biological toxins, radiation, which is a toxin that is sometimes related to a person who's been irradiated, but it doesn't have to be, and the body being out of balance, either running too fast, the engine running too fast, fast oxidation, or too slow, both of which will cause fatigue, oddly enough.